You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. I'm Paula Gwen Grant. On today's program, we're discussing cancer and nutrition. Our guests include nurse clinician Patty Ketchum from the Emory Winship Cancer Institute and lifestyle nutritionist Jelaine Jones. You need to be in on this conversation with your questions about nutrition and cancer. 404-880-9255. Also on Twitter at CCRTD. We talk about cancer on this show, and Patty, as a nurse at Emory Winship Cancer Institute, we are doing our best here on Your Health Connection to educate people as we are supporting someone with cancer or if we have received the diagnosis of cancer. And, you know, it's a series of appointments. It's a lot of processing of information when the cancer diagnosis comes to you and your family. So what is some of the general advice you can give us that will help us do better when we're trying to approach cancer, especially when we talk about nutrition?
In the way of nutrition, I would say, again, to maintain as healthy a diet as you possibly can. So starting today is just as good a time as any to start healthy, mm-hmm. adopt a healthy lifestyle, and, you know, see your doctor on some sort of regular basis. A lot of people will come in and see their doctors once they're sick and once they've been diagnosed. And so, you know, when you choose a doctor, it's like having a relationship just as you would with anyone else, even in the professional world and anywhere else. So it's a good idea to get regularly screened and be seen at least once a year so that you can have some information to give to your physician when you see them about what your baseline or your normal status is. And it's important to recognize what is normal for you. And then when you stray away from that normal baseline, you'll recognize what is not normal.
So that's important before the cancer diagnosis.
Absolutely.
Is to see our doctors and have some regular checkups.
Absolutely.
That is also a great piece of information because a lot of us only go to the doctor when something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And Patty, what do you do with the fear? I mean, we're afraid to go to the doctor. That's really mm-hmm. what keeps us from making the appointment.
Fear does paralyze a lot of us. I witness that a lot as well. But, you know, it doesn't change anything. And I think that patients and people feel much better when they are aware of their health status. And you can make some informed decisions because you have information that you're armed with that can be helpful to you, your family members that you can pass down if you have any hereditary or genetic health issues. And this is all valuable information that you need to communicate to your provider as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're taking your questions here on Your Health Connection about nutrition and cancer, how you can be the healthiest you can be. Nutrition. If you've wondered, you know, if you simply ate beets or more kale, or if you drank more water, or what type of water you should drink, or if you should do this or that in respect to cancer, this is a great opportunity to ask your questions regarding nutrition and cancer. 404-880-9255. We talk about nutrition, Jelaine Jones, and as a lifestyle nutritionist, I have to ask you, is it just what we're eating that can help us heal better if cancer visits us or stay, you know, as healthy as we can be and hopefully avoid a cancer diagnosis? Is there anything else along with the nutrition we should be mindful of?
Oh, yes, of course. There's fitness. So that, yes.
Exercise.
And exercise is not only going to the gym, because I know some people do not like going to the gym. So what I recommend for my patients or clients is if you like to walk. If there's something else you enjoy doing, if you like to dance, if you like to play a sport, if you like to swim, start off with doing something you enjoy because then it'll last a lot longer.
And you'll stick with it.
And you'll
let's be real with the exercise because we'll get spurts, you know. We'll go for it, especially at the new year. They say there's an uptick in gym memberships and just, you know, our New Year's resolution. We always want to do better. By Valentine's Day, it's all shot and nobody's doing it and everybody's eating chocolates and it gets out of control just a mere 30 days later. So what do we need to do? Is there a website there any resources you can provide us, Jelaine Jones, to help us stay on track and maybe monitor ourselves to get that little bit of exercise in?
Yes, you can buy a fitness device, tracking device, and so that can remind you that you can get up. I know someone, a dear friend of mine, she has an Apple Watch, and on her watch, it tells her that she's been sitting for too long and she needs to get up and move.
Oh.
So that means, yes, if you know that you're sitting for longer than an hour, please get up and walk around for at least 15 minutes. Your body needs movement. This is what we were designed for. And unfortunately, as evolution has progressed, we have gotten more and more sedentary. So if you find yourself sitting for long periods of time, you need to get up, move around. It doesn't take much. You need to move your legs, move your arms, move something. So I would definitely would recommend purchasing one of those devices, or even have a friend hold you accountable, or a family member hold you accountable, and you can have a partner that will remind you, hey, did you work out today? No? Okay, well then you need to get up and go do something. So a little bit counts. I always say start off with 15 minutes. We all have 15 minutes. We spend 15 minutes on social media. So we all have 15 minutes to move around, and start off with that, and then you can always increase it.
We're talking about nutrition, exercise, nutrition in relation to a cancer diagnosis. Have you walked with a friend through their cancer diagnosis and really helped them with the nutritional meals and preparing meals? And you have nutrition questions? Now's a great time to ask them to our two expert nutritionists who are here on Your Health Connection. Our number is 404-880-9255. We are also on Twitter at CCRTD. Jelaine, you make a great point about the use of technology. The Apple Watch is certainly one source. We all have different types of phones, and there's so many apps. There's so many apps that allow you to track what you're eating and your exercise. Have you seen that that has proven helpful, especially for your busiest customers or patients?
Yes, I do see that happening. There are apps out there. For an example, MyFitnessPal is an app. The one thing, though, is that I don't want people to think these apps are that accurate when it comes to maybe counting their calories, because that's the problem, is that they will put in all the information from the foods they've eaten and say, oh, wait a minute, I'm low in this type of vitamin or mineral, or I'm higher in this. And they get really nervous. They get anxious about what they're eating and get stressed out. So for some people, I don't recommend the apps. But if you can, if that's going to hold you more accountable, then feel free. There are definitely a lot of apps out there that will help you with your fitness or your healthier lifestyle choices. However, just be aware that sometimes those numbers can be off a little bit.
That's good to know. That's very good to know. We're talking about nutrition and cancer. Nutrition, how can you really live your healthiest life so that you are well, and if you're dealing with cancer, get through cancer treatment very well? Your questions are welcome right now at 404-880-9255. Patty Ketchum, as a nurse over at Emory Winship Cancer Institute, when you talk to the families about nutrition and caring and making meals, because it's difficult during cancer treatment sometimes to even keep meals down, you know, the nausea and some of the other things, what nutritionally are you recommending? Are there smoothies and other things that we can do during cancer treatment that we can still make nutritious in a way to help the healing?
Absolutely. It's interesting that you mentioned that. I will share this with the audience. I just had a family member recently diagnosed with lung cancer. And he lives outside of the state of Georgia, and this was his first encounter. And so a diet was an issue for him. And so, you know, I would call him as a family member and make some suggestions of what he would include in his diet to make things a little bit easier for him. He was going through a bout of chemotherapy that contributes, you know, that causes nausea. There's a whole bunch of side effects. So what I said to him, it's like, let's talk about what you eat and what you like. And, you know, he loved the fried foods, the, yes, the calorie laden stuff. And I was like, hey, look, you've got to lay back on that. And you're not going to, you know, your appetite's going to wax and wane a bit due to nausea. So I suggested some foods for him to eat that would be both nutritious and not quite as spicy.
Can you share some of the things you told him to eat? Because we would like to know those.
Absolutely. So a little bland, you switch to a little bit of a blander diet. You know, again, you stick with the deep, colorful fruits and vegetables, because the deeper the color, they've got all of these wonderful healthy vitamins added. And if you eat a balanced diet, then you don't need those vitamin supplements.
And that's what a lot of people take. We're talking about nutrition and cancer. Let's take a call real quickly and find out if we can answer this question. Your questions are welcome at 404-880-9255. Your questions regarding nutrition and cancer. Let's go to Decatur. Willie, hello. Welcome to Your Health Connection.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Willie Adams. I had a question. I know I'm a truck driver, and I know I'm coming in contact with a lot of men that are having prostate issues, and I don't have them right now. I hope that I don't ever get it, but I'm trying to find out what is a good supplement that's really good for keeping their prostate from swelling.
That's a great question. Thanks, Willie. We were just saying, Patty, you were saying a lot of folks take supplements. They'll grab these vitamins and supplements because they're not eating well.
Because, yes.
Yes, and you're saying if we eat well, we don't need all of those.
Absolutely.
And so Willie's question is, what about prevention? Is there anything we can do in terms of prostate cancer now specifically?
So typically, I would recommend to you that you see your doctor and get screened. While you're healthy still, and if you've been diagnosed with prostate cancer, again, I would recommend that you continue to see your doctor and follow the recommendations of that physician.
Okay, now Willie was explaining that he's good and healthy at the moment, and he's mm-hmm. trying to stay that way. So mm-hmm. for those of us who are healthy and just trying to eat well to prevent or at least take our best shot at being the healthiest, what would you recommend? Should we stress green vegetables? You mentioned earlier some of the other colors of vegetables that are more nutrient. Can you recommend those one more time for us?
Oh, absolutely. So I would recommend the dark leafy green vegetables, cruciferous type vegetables like broccoli and collard greens and Brussels sprouts. Those are all healthy things that would, help you prevent prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And also, don't forget about the other colors, the brightly colors, bright red, yellow, orange. They have, you know, carotene, beta carotenes, and other nutrients that are important to your diet and maintaining your health.
We're talking about eating the rainbow and making sure that you have a colorful plate. My plate was something you recommended, Jelaine Jones, as a lifestyle nutritionist. Prevention. I'm sure you deal with this most of the time, right? So
right, correct.
Can you share with us some useful advice for those of us who are trying to stay healthy, trying to be preventative in our care? How should we care for ourselves when it comes to nutrition? What is something that you can share with us this evening?
Yes, definitely you want to make sure that you're having high-fiber foods at each meal. That also makes it a little bit easier. High-fiber foods includes our fruits, our vegetables, our legumes like beans and lentils, whole grains. Besides brown rice, there's millet, there's quinoa, which is really easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
There's amaranth, there's kamut, and I know that probably sounds a little foreign to people, but those whole grains are out there at all your grocery stores. And then you just want to make sure you're eating a little bit of that. So in the morning time, if you want to make an omelet, add veggies to it. Don't just make a cheese omelet. Add some tomatoes and some spinach, some mushrooms. This is what you want to do at each meal. You want to make sure that you have a high fiber foods because that's what we're lacking in our diets, in American diets. We have the least amount of high fiber foods in our meal plans.
Really? So
out
that's
of every,
something.
Yes, out of country. Yes, oh. We do. I don't know why, but we do. We prefer other types of foods. But yes, I always say go for the high fiber foods and you can't go wrong because that's going to include all of the nutritious foods that Patty has mentioned.
And that's so important because, you know, we see the commercials and if you were to look at American television, you would think we're very sick. We are, you know, we have digestion issues.
We
you know,
are
when
very
you look
sick.
At our commercials and we are as nutritionists, yeah. You're telling us we need to do a better job with our nutrition. We're talking about nutrition. There are things we can do to take control of our health. And today on Your Health Connection, we are talking about something that is very much in our control. With
yes.
cancer, we can feel like there's so much that's not in our control. But nutrition is in our control. What we choose to eat, how it is prepared, how much of it we eat, very much in our control. If you have a question about nutrition, call us now. Ask the experts here on Your Health Connection, 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. I'd like to ask you both, either one of you, for this question. A lot of people, you know, there's been a popularity, if you will, about the vegan diet. A lot of folks wondering if dairy is a culprit or an assist when it comes to healing. Your thoughts about dairy and the inclusion of it, Jelaine?
Yes. Well, if you do want to incorporate a vegan diet for whatever reasons, because I know people have more of ethical reasons, maybe they have their reasons. So that's fine. However, you do have to prepare and plan for a vegan diet. Most people, when they start with vegan, don't know what to do, and they'll eat French fries all day long. No, that's not constitute a vegan diet. No. Even Oreos are vegan. So you do have to plan ahead because you can miss out on very important nutrients. You do have to take supplements if you are going to become a vegan. Now, that's one particular lifestyle where you do have to supplement because most of our B vitamins come from animal protein. Since you're not doing animal protein anymore, not eating animal protein, you will have to do that. So I would say if you do want to incorporate a vegan or vegetarian lifestyle, please seek out a registered dietitian nutritionist who will help you modify and help you with that meal plan. But if you, there is right now, there's no conclusive evidence that dairy is causing any type of cancer. There are dairy products that I'll probably eat less of, like ice cream, but all the other dairy products, milk, cheese, as long as it's like a low fat cheese or in moderation. And then also you have these other dairy products that are fine, that's okay. And I think, like I said, there's a lot of misinformation out there. When you start excluding food groups just because you want to exclude them, that you don't have a milk or a dairy intolerance or allergy, then that's where we can go wrong with missing out on nutrients.
Okay, you said something concerning to me that must be addressed because folks are saying ice cream. Did she say no ice cream? She said no ice cream, you know, and you gave us great advice, but then we heard no ice cream. So,
oh no,
I have a follow-up question about the ice cream. This must be addressed on your Health Connection. Did you say no ice cream? Can you explain perhaps why?
No, I didn't say no ice cream.
Okay,
I say limit the ice cream because that is going to be higher in fat and calories. You can definitely include all treats that you enjoy eating, but you don't want to go overboard. Always look at the serving size for what type of how much ice cream you should have. Usually it's half a cup. Half a cup of ice cream is not going to harm you. Usually what happens is we tend to eat the whole gallon of ice cream.
Yes, it's true. So, In one sitting.
If you know that by yourself, maybe you shouldn't buy the ice cream.
That's true.
But there are more, I would say, healthier options out there.
Like the sorbet.
Now there's so many different options. Sometimes even having a popsicle instead, or you can make your own popsicle. So you can have a treat and enjoy the treat, but look at other options.
That sounds good. We're talking about nutrition and cancer. Had to get clear about the ice cream. You're welcome. 404-880-9255. I know you were concerned, right? Because my jaw dropped too. It's my favorite. Is, you know, the spring and summer, you know, this is one of the central treats in the American diet. And we want to be smart about it. Mm-hmm. And your point is so well taken about anything in excess. We can't go crazy and you really can't eat the whole half a gallon. 404-880-9255 with your questions about nutrition and cancer. Nurse Patty Ketchum, I just need to ask you about dairy when it comes to cancer. Should that be for a moment something we should step away from in order to assist with the healing with the chemotherapy and radiation, or is that something we should not be concerned about?
That is something that you should not be concerned about. There is no conclusive evidence anywhere that points to dairy products contributing to cancer.
That's a great point, because when we get in the grocery store, you know, you see so much, and again, in our social media feeds, and a lot of people, research has proven that folks are getting their news, and this includes nutrition information, on their social media feeds, whichever social media account you favor. When you talk about nutrition, folks are reading snippets of stories. One of them that came up in Twitter, and we are at CCRTD, on Twitter with your questions about nutrition and cancer. Feel free to tweet us your question. If you have a moment to call, we'd love to talk to you at 404-880-9255. There's some superfoods out there that I want to talk about in a second. But first, let's go to Mableton and hear Alex's question. Hello, Alex.
Yes, hello.
Hi, go ahead with your question on your Health Connection.
My question is, what is the effect of garlic on the body? I've read it and it says it's supposed to be a natural antibiotic for the body. And also I want to know is, what is a great food to detoxify your body and lower your cholesterol?
Great questions.
Okay, so let's start with the garlic.
A lot of folks have that. I've seen reading where they say that if you do garlic every day, that that is a really healthy thing to do.
Yeah, well, again, that's probably a fallacy because it's a vegetable, yes, but you know, it's always a good idea if you just take the stance that, you know, anything in moderation is probably safe. So an excess a diet with excess garlic is not going to cure you of any cancer.
Nor will it prevent it?
And nor will it prevent it.
Okay, because that's one of the things like ginger that you read a lot of articles saying, oh, but if you do garlic and ginger every day, it's good prevention.
No, it's never a good idea. That is not prevention. I mean, you can use garlic to enhance the flavor of your food and for some other purposes and uses, but certainly not for cancer prevention.
Okay, but it is healthy and won't harm us.
But it certainly won't harm you.
Okay. So Jalynn Jones, as a lifestyle nutritionist, your thoughts on the garlic?
It's the same. Yes, I would definitely include garlic when you're preparing your meal so you can enhance the flavor. And so use more fresh garlic and not the garlic that is in the oil. Some people will buy the garlic in the oil, so don't purchase that. And if you are going to buy some seasoned garlic, make sure it says garlic powder and not garlic salt. So those are my recommendations, the same thing.
Excellent.
Eating a bulb of garlic every day is not going to prevent anything. What it might do is probably prevent you from talking to people.
Yeah, because it can be.
That's because it's very strong and potent. But adding garlic, though, to your meals, when you're cooking, you're preparing your food, is fine to do.
And the other question he had was about which are the vegetables that are good for detox, just for the sake of being healthy. And if you are experiencing cancer treatment, you know, it can be rough. Detox, do you have, like, you know, you see green vegetable cleanses, you know, you eat green vegetables for 2 days and it's supposed to sort of, you know, clean the system. Any thoughts on that?
That's a really good question. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the use of vegetables, again, eating sensibly and healthily is a great idea. When you eat whole foods and vegetables that are high in fiber, it will help you maintain a healthy gut. Because when you eat oily and fatty foods, they come with carcinogens, and those carcinogens sit in your gut and contribute to perhaps colon cancer and other digestive cancers in that way. But to use them as cleansers, if you're eating a balanced diet that's high in fiber, you won't need those cleansers because your body will take care of that on its own.
Yeah, so this theory of detox, Jalynn, not really something that's also marketing. It's something that's just out there. We don't need to detox if we do well by our nutrition.
Correct. You don't. Because you know what? We have an organ called the liver, and that is a great detoxifier. So we just have to let our body work, but we don't do that. We put so much other types of unhealthy or not as nutritious foods in our system. So we always think we need to detox. And I know that is something people do at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Want to start anew, and they go on this detox fad, it can help with jump starting more of a nutritious eating plans. However, detoxing with certain types of vegetables is not going to make you any healthier because what you do end up doing is going right back to probably the foods you eat before. Mm-hmm. If you most of the time have foods that we mentioned before, Patty and I, that are high in fiber, that are stay away from the fried foods, drink more water. If you stick with these basic principles, then your body is going to thank you for it, and you won't need to go on these detoxifying or paying for these detoxifying types of supplements.
The cleanses, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need the cleanse. You can save your money on those kits. We're talking about nutrition. You're getting the real facts and information from two experts on nutrition. Call with your questions now, 404-880-9255. We're also on Twitter. You may tweet your question at CCRTD. You're listening to Your Health Connection.
Did you know that some risk factors for prostate cancer include age, race and ethnicity, family history, diet, and lack of exercise? These risk factors are not only unique to prostate cancer, but are also relevant to other health disparities that impact a person's overall health and wellness. Let's make health and wellness a family affair by developing benchmarks for routine health screenings on birthdays and anniversaries. Men over the age of 40 should get screened for prostate cancer annually, including both the digital rectal exam and PSA blood test. Get screened for prostate cancer today and make health and wellness a family affair. This announcement in the public interest is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. More information is available online at ccrtd.cau.edu.